Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
All right, it's Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton for another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. How you doing, Stone?
I am doing well, man. This Halloween was a little unusual. You know, my daughter Kelly, she broke her leg a few weeks ago.
That's right. What did she go as?
She went as either Mario or Luigi. I don't know how to tell one from the other with her good buddy Maddie. But what was different about it for her is they had to tote her around in a red wagon.
Was that better?
Well, no, the hall was not nearly as good. I didn't get any Baby Ruths, and usually that's the rule in my neighborhood. All the Baby Ruths go in my mailbox. But we did hot dogs for Halloween like we do every year.
And had that. You had the whole neighborhood over?
It was fantastic. We had a whole new crop of younger kids, and everybody filled up on hot dogs, get a little something in them before they went trick-or-treating, and we had a fantastic time. And Mom and Dad are in town.
That's right. You got the whole family.
That's right. Coffee was ready when I got up this morning.
Wow, that's a treat.
Usually it's me. Yeah, I have to go down, make the coffee, bring it up to Holly. So, no, we had a fantastic Halloween. How did it go on your side of the world?
Same thing. No hot dogs. We did Chick-fil-A, but it was the same routine.
Well, we're going to have a fun segment a little bit later in the program. We are going to hear from C.W. New. I'm going to let him pronounce his whole name because this is a big, long thing. You know, I don't know how he gets it on a business card. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce the owner and president of AquaGuard Basement Systems and Foundation Solutions, Mr. Tom DeGregorio. How did I do?
Not too bad, actually. Yeah,
so you're Tom for the remainder of this segment.
Tom D will work. That's great. Thanks.
So welcome to the show, man.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, we are delighted to have you. So AquaGuard Basement, I'm going to make a leap here. You're keeping the water out of the basement, yeah?
Well, that's just a small part of what we do. But we are going on an 18-year-old company. And we specialize in basement waterproofing, of course, crawl space repair, crawl space encapsulation, and all forms of foundation repair, including foundation settlement, cracked and bowed walls, sagging floor joists, void sinkholes, anything to do structurally, whether it's leaking, failing, bending, or bowing, that's what we do.
So you got a trip planned to Manhattan anytime soon?
Wow. Don't know that I'm staffed up for that, but boy.
But you could do some good over there, right?
Oh, my God. I'm feeling really bad for those folks.
Right.
It's devastating.
So flooding is a major issue around the country, so you guys are helping that area as well?
Well, we have dealers. We're part of the largest network of waterproofing and foundation repair contractors in the world, actually. There's probably close to 400 of us. So we have many dealers in that area that will certainly be helping. But a lot of that is just going to be flat-out reconstruction at this stage.
Now, is there anything you guys help from a preventative standpoint that they could have been doing something ahead of time?
Well, nothing.
Nothing.
To prevent that type of storm. But there are a lot of things the typical homeowner can do to prevent foundation repair problems and waterproofing problems, or at least prolong them before they have to deal with them.
Right.
So how do you differentiate yourself in the marketplace? Are you the only game in town, and do you have some competition that you have to?
Well, we certainly do have competition. We view ourselves as our biggest competitor. But the biggest thing I think that stands us out is our level of customer service. We have about 50 employees right now. We're very well departmentalized. And we have a lot of the most cutting-edge systems and products on the market right now that allow us to go in, assess a situation. And one of the things we're particularly proud of is, unlike a lot of companies in our business that have a system that they use for a particular problem, we have multiple systems for the same problem, because the same problem under different types of construction and different situations based on the lay of the land, determine or require different type systems. So we have several systems for the same type problem based on the construction itself.
And does some of this apply to new construction? Are there some things you can do on brand new homes that really set these things up properly?
In fact, I started my business in 1995 doing new construction. Unfortunately, the codes in this town are so slack that it does not even require a builder to actually waterproof a foundation, believe
it
or not.
Wow, no, that's...
Really?
That is
really
hard to believe.
Now, let me clarify that.
But they still do
the,
it, right?
The code says, no, the code says that they only have to, what's called damp proof it. And believe it or not, that is a technical term. Damp proofing is spraying a black asphalt type emulsion on the wall, which is resistant to water.
Right.
Versus a waterproofing membrane, which is typically has a lot more rubber in it, which is actually impervious to water. So it's kind of like going out in the rainstorm with a windbreaker when it's raining and the water beads up on it, and then after a while it soaks in.
Right.
That's damp proofing. Waterproofing is like wearing a raincoat where it's totally impervious to water.
So is this kind of like the Carfax? If I'm going to have a house built or I'm getting ready to buy a house, should I say, hey, I want more done here?
Absolutely. If you need to... The builder, it's unbelievable, but a builder might spend $400 to $500 on the foundation, and that could be $150,000 home. It could be a $750,000 home. So and they're not required. They only put a 1-year warranty on it. So typically, they're thinking after a year, I don't have to really worry about it.
It's not their problem anyway, right?
Right. So, but a homeowner should be proactive and tell them they want it waterproofed.
Oh, so that's something they can have a conversation and negotiate at the beginning of the process?
Absolutely.
Now, I'm sure you do most of your work after that has happened, and you're fixing those problems. Do you have a sweet spot in terms of an age of a home?
Well, obviously there's a lot more problems developing probably when a home is 10 years or older, but we have plenty of jobs we've done where the homes are anywhere from brand new to 10 years.
So you've seen a problem with a brand new house, mm-hmm, just in a short period of time?
A lot of times it can be a foundation crack that's leaking, and that can be a simple repair. In fact, that's one of the more economical or less expensive repairs there are. But a big part of the problem is the footing drain. Whatever you put on the wall, whether it's damp proofing or waterproofing, there is a quote-unquote footing drain, which used to consist of pipe and gravel, and that's what allows the water to, accept, the drain accepts the water and then drains it away from the foundation. But even that foundation drain isn't installed well. They don't even use pipe and gravel in most cases anymore. They use a product called strip drain, which supposedly doesn't require gravel. So it's a system basically bound to fail. There's two types of foundations, the kind that leak and the kind that are going to leak.
There's your quote for the press release, Kevin. So are you playing a lot of golf when it's dry? Is that what you and your 50 employees do?
No, actually, believe it or not, and we are, most people don't realize this, we're in pretty bad drought right now. In fact, everybody remembers the drought we had several years ago in 08, just prior to the 100-year flood we had. And this year, we've had under 30 inches of rain, and we are actually drier than the driest year of the drought.
Wow.
Despite that, we actually are busier than we've ever been. In fact, we're on track for a record-breaking year. So a lot of that is structural work we're doing. When it's dry like it is, the soil in the Atlanta area has a lot of clay in it, and mm-hmm, it expands and contracts with moisture. So because we don't have a lot of moisture, it's contracting. That causes the soil to literally pull away from the wall and pull away from underneath the footing, which supports the home.
Right.
So the soil loses its ability to hold the load, and we have settlement issues. Also, when we do get rain, because there's a pathway for water to get between the wall and the dirt.
Right, that wasn't there before.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're still doing our share of waterproofing, but we're doing a lot of structural repair, and we're doing a lot of crawl space encapsulation, which is a whole nother scope of work.
Is that a relatively new scope of work?
Well, it's
or
been,
always been doing it?
We pioneered it here about a decade ago, but all the building science now is overwhelmingly obvious, stating that the old vented dirt crawl spaces was just a bad idea. And in some parts of the country, they've actually outlawed vented dirt crawl spaces. When we've all seen crawl spaces, there's dirt and there's the vents. But those vents literally let warm, humid air in the summertime in, mm-hmm, and in the wintertime they let cold air in. And,
sure,
and typically your heating and cooling ducts are underneath the crawl space where the furnace is, so it creates for excessively high heating and cooling bills.
So what's your solution?
Well, encapsulation is a process where we literally come in and we first install a drainage system because we know that's going to take on water if it isn't already. Then we close up and seal up all the vents, and then we install a 20-mil liner, much like a pool liner. I mean, this is a very, very durable material, and we lay it on the walls.
So you like shrink wrap the room?
Well, basically, yeah. you might say that we put the liner on the dirt. We run it up the walls. We mechanically fasten it to the walls. All the seams are chemically welded. Seal outside air leaks, and then we install a commercial grade dehumidification system to condition it.
And then so then that removes that kind of disparity of the humidity throughout the year.
Well, it does a lot of things. Number one, it stops the mold growth. Which creates all those smells that emanate up into the first floor of the home. Most people don't realize that up to 50% of the air they're breathing in their living space is coming from their crawl space.
Wow. That's scary. I could have gone without that piece of knowledge. Thank you very much, Tom.
It stops all the mold growth and the associated smells. It can save as much as 20-25% on the heating and cooling bills, and it stops the wood rot because the conditions are so high. The humidity conditions, the floor joists, the subfloor is all wood. It becomes a source for mold, and it also
because the wood absorbs that moisture over the years.
Absolutely, I mean instantly. So it's like a factory for mold. Probably 7-8 months out of the year.
Is that part of your business also? Is mold?
We don't remediate the mold. If it's that bad, we'll refer to a mold remediation company. But what we do is we go after the source. We create a condition where mold can't grow.
Uh-huh.
Now, you mentioned earlier in the conversation being part of a network of 400-plus folks that do this kind of work. Mm-hmm. Speak to the advantages of that, if you will, for you as an organization and the benefits that provides for the client, for the customer.
Well, that's it's been a huge advantage for us because we're part of a network of hundreds of dealers. We share ideas, and we're not in competition with each other, so we openly share what we can do to improve. Basement Systems is the manufacturer out of the Connecticut area, and there's constant R&D going on. So we have the best products and systems that are out there, constantly innovating and improving based on the feedback from the dealers. The other thing is we have a nationally backed life of the structure transferable warranty. So although we're a very strong company, in the event we should stop doing business, the warranty that we're providing is backed up by hundreds of dealers that could come in the event of a warranty issue.
Now, I was going through your website, and it was interesting. You have all this stuff about your services, basement, waterproofing, all this stuff, but you have a whole section just on real estate agents. What's the relationship with you and real estate agents?
Well, about a decade ago, we started a program that was specifically for realtors. There is nothing that will stop a real estate transaction dead in its tracks than a foundation problem. So we actually are certified through the Georgia Real Estate Commission as a continuing education school. We have several 3-credit free CE classes that we bring to the agent's office. And we educate them on what it is we do and how it impacts the way they earn a living. And we absolutely help agents move their listings faster and for more money.
So now I understand, I mean, that's very generous of you to do this, but is there something in it for you? Like, are real estate agents important to your business?
Well, absolutely. The classes are free.
That's why it seems extremely generous.
And basically, we want to be the go-to company. So, and as a result, we are. So when they have these issues, they call us. We provide free estimates for them. Mm-hmm. We go out and help them assess the situation. So ideally, if they're listing a home, they don't get stuck in the 10-day inspection period when the buyer's inspector comes in and says that we have a problem and the deal falls apart and then we have tears in the driveway, which happens a lot. Or if they're in the inspection period, we can get out there typically within 3 business days, assess the situation, and try to save the deal for them.
And save the deal in terms of saying, okay, we can solve this problem for X number of dollars, so then they can negotiate that back into the deal?
Yeah, years ago when the market was, it was easy to buy and sell a home.
Right.
Buyer or sellers were just saying, "Hey, buy it as is. I'm not doing anything today."
Right.
Sellers are much more proactive. They're spending the money to get the problem fixed. And if it's before a contract is on the home, we tell the agents where it says, have you ever had a foundation problem or a foundation leak? Gladly check that off. Yes. Tell them that they've had it fixed, that it comes with a transferable life.
And it's a lifetime, right. So that's right. That's so almost better.
It is better. It's, right. It's now a selling advantage.
Right, I mean, because now you never have to worry about it again. Because
if there's a problem in one home, there's a problem in homes all in that area. And
is that typically how it works?
Yeah. I mean, construction is construction. In some areas are more prevalent than others for mm-hmm. these type of problems. But, it's now a selling advantage. So now you've got an edge in right. this tough, real estate world.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So what's next for you? Are you looking to grow this business, have more sites, or are you just going to focus and continue to do what you're doing?
Well, Atlanta's a big town, and we're certainly the largest company, but right now there's a lot of companies out there that are doing what we do, and our goal really is to just capture as much market share as we can because we know we have the best products and systems and the warranty that they can count on. We stand behind our work. We have a service department and warranty department that handles our customers. So, just growing and getting better and better. 18 years into it, every day we come to work looking to get improve on what we do.
Now, is there any tips you have for somebody who has maybe an older home that they can be doing proactively?
Yeah, that's a great question. And what most people don't realize is roof water. Improperly channeled roof water is the number one reason why basements and crawl spaces leak and foundations mm-hmm. settle, crack, and bow. Most people don't pay attention to that. They see their downspouts, and hundreds to thousands of gallons can come out of one downspout in a heavy rain.
Right. I don't think people realize the amount of water that comes off your roof.
It's massive. So the best thing they can do is to, and you can certainly have a company do that, but with a little bit of sweat and a few bucks at a big box store, you can get pipe, you can get the various fittings.
And you can kind of move that water away from the house.
Get the water, away.
Into your neighbor's yard.
Yeah. in some of these smaller lots, that's about the only places it can go. But it's very important to be proactive to keep that water away from the foundation.
Now, somebody told me, and I don't know if it's true, you could probably tell me better, is if you do any kind of dramatic landscaping in your house, that could also affect the foundation because now the water is rerouted, like you were mentioning earlier, where it gets pulled away.
Well, as long as the landscaping and the slope of the land is pitched away from the foundation,
right.
A lot of people make mistakes and they'll put flower beds next to their foundation and they build the dirt up to create a flower bed. Next thing you know, the dirt's over the top of the foundation wall, and then when it rains or even the irrigation system comes on, water can sometimes go over the wall and into the basement or crawl space. And most people don't realize it because they don't know exactly where the top of the wall is. So that's a common mistake. And if you're going to regrade, just make sure that it all slopes, away from the foundation.
Right.
I got to go home right now.
Right this
way. I got flower beds.
Didn't you have your sister-in-law putting flower beds?
Well, yeah, she's going to totally re-landscape the whole thing for the engagement party. Oh, my goodness. I have some pretty jim-jammy gutters. But now I'm wondering if I've got it, if I'm taking it away from the house enough.
Well, you'll know when it rains real hard.
Yeah.
You
can just do a simple, look at it to see if the earth is sloped towards the house or away from the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously pipe your downspouts off 10, 15 feet or whatever you need to make sure that water doesn't come back against
towards
the foundation.
Towards the house, right.
Well, you've obviously done a fantastic job in the marketplace. You've got the trust and loyalty of realtors. You've got 18-plus years, it sounded like, history.
We do. We pride ourselves on our customer service. We're by far the most award-winning company in our industry. In fact, we just attended an awards breakfast yesterday for the 13th year. We're a Consumer's Choice Award for Business Excellence. We're top pick in all the consumer review books that come to the home. We're a Trustdale certified partner. One of the things we're most proud of is we've won the Better Business Bureau's highest honor, the Torch Award for Marketplace Ethics, an unprecedented 4 years,
wow.
and several other years for customer service as well. So although we've got a great reputation, I've got to tell you, we come to work every day never relying on our reputation. We're always building it.
Good. And you're fixing, you know, what, arguably one of the most expensive problems that a homeowner can run into if they don't get in front of it.
Well, I mean, let's face it. The home is probably the most, valuable asset that most people own, and it's something you need to take care of. So,
right.
We provide great systems with great warranties, and we're there to back it up when and if there's any issues.
Now, you mentioned those education credits for the realtors. Is that information on your website?
Well, a lot of it's on our website.
Right.
Our website is very comprehensive, so there's a lot of information on there. And one of the things that we like to do, because most people have no idea what to do with a leaky basement or foundation issue. Most people don't even know what it is unless they've had the problem or a friend of theirs
right.
has had a problem. So our whole goal is to educate a customer so they understand what the problem is, what their options are for repair, so they can make an educated decision for themselves. We're not just trying to sell them anything. We want them to understand, and our whole approach is geared around that. In fact, before we even come out to the home, we have three amazing books that we send to a home, to the homeowner for free. Before we even get there, one's called, Crawl Space Science, Foundation Science, and one is on basements. And basically, it's loaded with pictures and illustrations to help people understand what the problem is and what their options are.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes kind of the mystique out of it before we even get there.
Right. Wow.
So what's the best way for our listeners to reach out and learn more?
Well, our main number is 770-419-9111. And also 1-800-STAY-DRY.
I like that.
That's a good one.
And our website, which is a great resource, is aquaguard.net.
Well, Tom, thank you so much for visiting with us this morning. I can't say that I enjoyed every piece of information, but it's data we need to know.
You need to know.
And we appreciate you coming in and visiting with us, man.
My pleasure. Thanks very much.
So how about hanging out with us a little while?
I'd love to.
All right. Well, next up on Atlanta Business Radio is Mr. Chancellor Winburn, C.W. New.
Gets a little long-winded during the business.
But it ends. Doesn't it? It ends real little.
Yeah. I like the way it tapers off, C.W. So, this gentleman is with Fire Dog. Tell us a little bit about this organization, what you're out there trying to do for folks.
Well, first of all, before I get started, I want to say thank you to Tom from AquaGuard. That's an amazing presentation. I just wish I had him in my business card Rolodex in the Great Flood of 2008. We experienced everything that you just mentioned, and I'm here to tell you, it would have been great to have a trusted advisor for someone to help us through that, because we had bobcats, we had bulldozers. It was a hot mess. So I just want to say thank you for coming out here and sharing that. I just wish you and I had sat in this room 5 years ago. It would have been a lot less of a hassle for us. So thanks, Tom. I appreciate that. Great information. As far as I had to touch something on Halloween, our first two trick-or-treaters, I know Stone and Lee, y'all were talking about what y'all did, but let me tell you, our first two trick-or-treaters last night, Rochelle, my wife, and I, the first one was Lee, which is the manager of our firewood company, with two cords of wood dropping it off. As soon as I got back to the house, I'm thinking, yeah, I'm going to be able to just settle in and enjoy Halloween Eve. No, sir. So the firewood showed up. Then a few minutes later, about an eight-week-old kitten showed up. That's our first two trick-or-treaters. Rochelle, my wife, is a huge heart, and so we're already – she's tears. She's like, we can't take this cat to the Humane Society. So that's the first two things that greeted me at the door. I expected to be handing candy out. But, yeah, I want to say thank y'all for having me. Fire Dog, just to launch right into it, what Tom said earlier really resonates with me, because – we're problem solvers and educators. That's how we got in the business almost two decades ago, was just helping business with technology, because that's a very misunderstood concept in today's world. So rather than say, hey, pay us and we're going to come try to solve your problems, we've built our network up over the years of all our clients. We've got the same clients that we started with in the early 90s because of the fact that we just helped them out. And then as the relationship grew, we grew with them and took care of their technology needs. And it's just, if you look at my business card, Stone, it says Chief Problem Solver.
Yeah,
so you just let me know what you need help with with your business. So as you know, we own several companies, but Fire Dog to the Rescue is the central portal where everybody can come to learn more about what we do.
And part of it touches on this whole thing that Lee and I have been talking about this for some time now, and I don't think either one of us have a good grasp on it, this whole cloud movement to the cloud. Can you speak to that some?
That's a great question. What is the cloud? Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Exactly. You don't really know. That's what the cloud is. It's an assortment of resources online through a network, usually the internet, which allows you to run your programs, your software, things remotely that would normally require a great deal of computational resources at your location, like a server. The reason it's called the cloud is the infrastructure is so complex that they quit trying to describe it on these maps, on these blueprints, and they just put a picture of a cloud on there because they didn't really know what was behind it.
Marketing came up with it. Yeah. But all this stuff really does exist somewhere. It just doesn't exist right here in my studio. I'm reaching out to somewhere, though, right?
Correct, and that's why I said that the knock-knock, who's there joke, because you don't know where you're wound up when you're dealing with the cloud, and it's really important to understand what you're trying to accomplish, because the cloud can entail anything from Dropbox, where you can store your files remotely, to your music, to actually running your software. I'm sure everybody has heard of Microsoft Office, Microsoft Excel, Word. They have those programs now running through your web browser, where you don't have to have a server and you don't have to have it installed on every computer. It actually runs through the cloud. So it's important to understand not only what the cloud is, but what you're trying to accomplish.
Now, how do you work with a client? Like, typically, like, we deal with a lot of small business people, and they start out with a desktop, or they have some sort of computing, you know, computer in their office, and maybe then they start networking their computers. At what point is it something where they're like, you know what, this is over our heads, we got to call somebody for help?
Well, just like Tom with AquaGuard, if we flood again, I've got his business card right here in front of me.
I gotta wait till the flood.
Yeah,
in order to call you. Is that what you're saying?
Now, I'm gonna send him an email this afternoon and say, "What's up? Don't forget about me." But really, you need a trusted advisor.
I gotta meet you before I have a problem. Do you think that's better?
That's ideal.
Absolutely. You don't want to wait until it's on fire. You already want the sprinkler system there. But no, you want to have somebody that you can talk to. A lot of businesses have automation, but they don't have a trusted advisor that plans the future for them. And that's one thing that we offer, just like Tom was saying with his resources.
Are you trying to get a job with Tom?
I love it. I want to see who's taking care of Tom's cloud when we get out of here. But no, everything he said resonated with us because it's very similar. We don't charge for talking to people about what their business problems are. And it's all about, we think business is just a network. Good business is a network of people helping other people. And you grow through that. And our nearly two decades of working with folks, it's just about saying, hey, what do you need? And now, you know, we went from technology and tech support to apps to developing cloud systems for our customers. And I noticed y'all have a nice 70-inch banner over in the corner of the studio.
You know, we sell those too?
We got a sign shop too. Fire Dog Signs.
I'll tell you, because we need some more.
We got your back.
Good timing. We need it right now. We need about two or three more of those.
Well, you know how everybody says, well, you know, pay me. You know, you talk to businesses and they're like, pay me and I'll come out. Or sometimes you can't even get them to come out. I'm like, go ahead, on air, on the record, saying, we'll give you two of those for free just to try us. How about that?
Well, I'll tell you, we'll take them right now for free.
Absolutely. So what kind of mistakes do you find that small businesses, any size business, can make if they don't get ahead of the curve, talk to somebody like you ahead of time, and just, you know, jump off the cliff and say, well, we got to get in the cloud. Let's just go buy this service. What kind of traps can they fall into?
Well, most business technology support and what we call technology intelligence is reactive. The provider, the service provider, the support provider does not actually dispense guidance. They just react to every problem that the business calls in. If Tom says we can't get on the internet, well, you know, if he was our customer, wink, wink, we'd know before he did that he couldn't get on the internet. So it's really looking at how to prevent.
So he would never not be on the internet.
Right.
He'd be fixing it ahead of time.
But that's the thing, is actually working with people to understand what their business is. Most business owners understand their business intimately, but they don't understand the technology and the business processes that will help their business grow or help their business not react to problems, but be proactively solving issues that they're not even aware of. Like one of our customers, didn't even realize that they were down. Our service desk sent them a text message at 5 a.m. in the morning. We had already called their internet provider. opened a ticket with them. By the time they got in at 8, the problem was solved. So it's all about just planning ahead and helping people grow their business through technology. So we listen to what they do. We're not trying to sell them anything. It's free. We come out and spend a couple hours with them just to learn before we make any, suggestions.
And then when they work with you, is it kind of a retainer relationship? And then if there's some issue that comes up, then there's more engagement, or how does it work?
Well, that's a issue that we saw, many years ago, is that with technology advisors, most of them come in and say, pay me $150 an hour and we're going to try to solve your problems. And that's more the reactive issue that I was just talking about,
right?
Is that when you have problems, your support provider is actually being more successful. So what you want to do is you want to look at somebody that says, hey, we want to grow with you. They put a flat fee suggestion on the table and give you a scope of what they're trying to accomplish. It's very important, because when a technology provider and a business process provider actually gives you a flat fee and handles the growth that you need for your business to be more successful, it's important, because the risk to do the job well becomes theirs, not yours.
And so I want to talk a little bit about safety, because one of the first things that crosses my mind, whether the box is sitting over there in the corner or whether it's out in the cloud somewhere, I mean, like these interviews that we record, that's really important stuff to us. The client information, do you have people express concerns about safety? And if so, how do you address those?
Absolutely. The security aspect is something that most people don't even think about. Normally, you hear about it all the time. It's almost like if it was raining constantly, you don't even look at the weather. It's like, hey, we're going to spend another couple of weeks in London. You're just like, you become desensitized to the
right.
whole security experience. So one of the things to point out about security is that by the time you notice a problem, it's too late. It's usually from the security aspect
point.
Of it, it is really, you want, that goes back to the proactive strategy. So take, for instance, a business that uses online banking. Almost every business owner that I've talked to uses online banking. And they're like, well, I don't really worry about security or viruses, because if I do get infected, my bank says, we're protecting you. You're only liable for $50 or $100, whatever the operating agreement is between you and your bank. But it's important to distinguish, not if they get your password. If you read through the fine print, and a hacker gets your username and password and transfers the money, it is an uphill battle, because now they have access to the account because you, the business owner, didn't put in the proactive mechanisms to prevent that. So there's some liability there you have to take a look at that you're not even aware of. And by the time the money's gone, it may be too late.
So now some of the things you I'd like to cover some of the services. You mentioned the IT. We talked a little bit about the sign stuff, but you guys do things like disaster recovery. You have call centers. You do even websites and marketing. I mean, so you're completely a whole conglomerate over there at FireDog.
Well, what we've noticed over the years is our clients are like having issues with those different departments or what you say. They're dealing with 6, 7, sometimes up to 10 or more companies just to get their business needs met. It's just like the sign shop. I and my team didn't start out being a sign shop, but our customers were always complaining about the need for a solid and quick and efficient and cost-efficient delivery. And I've got a friend of mine who, Philip, is actually the best man at my wedding. He's owned a sign shop for 20 years, and he's like, listen, just send your people down to my shop, get them trained, go buy the equipment. You already have the own tech support and the infrastructure. He's like, we'll help you. So once again, that business network, we do all his technology and everything. And many years ago, he got us in the sign business. And now our customers are like, really? We're like that big red Staples button. You just hit it. That was easy.
But there has to be some challenges in managing such diverse businesses. We have this radio, business radio platform. We know it, and this may be the only thing we know, but we feel like we've got our arms around it. How do you effectively manage all these disparate businesses? You must have some sort of methodology or approach to working with people that allows you to do that and do it well.
Well, we like to say that I stand on the shoulders of giants at our different departments, but it's true. First of all, people are the most important aspect of any business. And secondly, providing those people with the support and technology that they need to do their jobs is critical to successful. Any business is successful that requires automation has to have a strong and intelligent plan. So if you think back to what we started with 17 years ago, we were app developers before the word app was cool. You know, it was application was the name of it. Then it became legacy software. Now everybody says app. Well, we were solving problems with software almost two decades ago. So we use that same culture and vision and mission to bring the same technology to our other to our people running our different departments of our businesses. And because we already have that infrastructure in place and we know how to solve the problems, they're not sitting there fussing about their computers, and they know when they come in that the software is going to work and things are going to be running smoothly, and it makes people happy. So when you say, how do we manage that? Well, first of all, you have to put the right people in the right place and the right technology, and betwixt the two shall meet.
Now, since you do so many different things, what's usually the point of entry for a new client for you?
Well, we like to call it the open door policy. Like, I speak literally all day long to tens and sometimes even hundreds of phone calls when people just – they'll call in. They'll say, hey, listen, I heard about you from a friend or one of your customers or on the Business Radio X show. And I had a question about this. We believe in educating people. And once again, I'm going to throw a prop towards Tom, because that's the idea is you don't talk. We don't have any salespeople at our office.
Really?
No, not one. We let you talk to the department managers. If you have a technology question, like if you said, hey, listen, I really need some advice. We're thinking about doing this. It's a phone call, and you will actually speak with me on the technology side. So I believe in talking with every customer, because many times our customers become our friends. We have both professional relationships, but when you help people out in their business and you do a good job, the personal relationship comes
sure.
too, and we believe in that. So to answer your question, pick up the phone. Or now, you can send an email.
Is there a rule of thumb, sort of a percentage range that a small business should maybe dedicate, set aside for technology that makes sense, or is that just all over the map?
That is an all over the map, business expense, but that should not be. It should be budgetable, just like your all-you-can-eat plan with, say, you go with text, talk, and mobile. That costs you a fixed fee every month. Your technology plan should be budgetable too. So the obviously every business has its own needs, but the average across the industries is 1.6% of your gross revenue for what we call operational services, which would be cloud services, technology services, internet access.
So $22 for us.
If you round up, $25. Yeah.
I like where your head's at. Yeah, that's definitely budgetable. Y'all got that under control. But yeah, it's roughly on average 1.6% of your gross revenue for the software and service and technology support. And you want to capitalize 2% of your operational revenue spread out over 4 years for your hardware costs. So if you look at buying new computers, if you have to have servers in your office, that would be considered a capital expense. And that would be 2% over 4 years. So 0.5 each year of your gross revenue is what you want to budget. If they can't do it with that, 404-881.
And before we let you go, can we talk a little bit about your nonprofit?
Absolutely. That is something that really warms our heart at the office, because we hear a lot of businesses here in Atlanta talk about, well, you know, we want to give back to the community. And we sat around as our mission and as our culture would resonate, let's solve the problem. And so we started having internal discussions several years ago about how we can help the community. And the best way that we saw fit to help the community is help organizations that are already helping the community. So we formed a nonprofit, a 501c3, that actually helps other nonprofits in Atlanta with their technology or with their signs, whatever they need. But because oftentimes they don't have the same revenue sources that a for-profit business would have. So we scale it based upon their ability to pay. And if they can't pay and they're eligible, then we'll provide the support for free. So it's really awesome experience, because when you help them help others, it's an exponential return.
And what are some of the groups you work with?
Well, one of the things that we did here very recently was Paws in the Park. I don't know if y'all are pet lovers, but we sure are at our shop. And if you looked around, Paws in the Park, and every sign you saw was produced by the Fire Dog Sign Shop with a good heart. You know, that's the kind of things that we do. And the Atlanta Arts Festival and Taste of Atlanta. I don't know if y'all went to Taste of Atlanta, but that was us too.
Yeah, we had them in here.
Yeah, we had them in the show.
Was Stacy over here? Did Stacy come?
It was Dale.
Okay, gotcha. Well, yeah, that's some of the recent stuff that we've done. And also Safe Ride America. Y'all guys familiar with Safe Ride?
Yes.
Okay, so you know what the service they offer, that's another nonprofit that we give back to.
Fantastic.
Good stuff. So website, if somebody wants to learn more?
www.firedogworks.com.
And they can just ask for CW and it'll be sent to the right person.
Yeah, it's amazing. When people find out that we don't have salespeople, that the founder of the company will actually call them, they're like, dude. And listen, that's a personal guarantee. If stuff's not right, I'll crawl under the desk or get in the server room myself. They don't, that's my heart. I'm an engineer at heart, and they don't like me to do that at the office because they want me out here talking with y'all. But I still promise to every customer, if it's not done right, I'll do it myself.
Well, the guy that you brought with you is shaking his head. I don't know if he's agreeing with that.
That's Michael Baxter over there in the corner. He didn't want to get on the radio. He's our senior operations manager, and he's the guy that got me here on time.
Well, Michael, you've been flawless throughout this entire production, buddy.
A+ for you. All right. Well, that wraps up another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton and all of our guests here today. We will see you all next week on Atlanta Business Radio.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.